You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, help us to practice what we preach. Give us faith to trust your Son, Jesus Christ, and to follow him. Put your love into our hearts that we may love. Your kindness that we may know and show kindness. Your heart that we may pulsate with your life. Do that for us, we pray, for the sake of Jesus Christ, who practiced what he preached. Amen. Our Lord practiced what he preached. What he said, he did. His actions were in accord with his words. Jesus Christ called for the same kind of thing from his followers. Not every person who calls me Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do what my Father in heaven wants them to do. When that day comes, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, in your name we told God's message. By your name we drove out many demons and performed many miracles. And I will say to them, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So then, everyone who hears these words of mine and obeys them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain poured down, the rivers flooded over, and the winds blew hard against that house. But it did not fall, because it had been built on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not obey them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain poured down, the rivers flooded over, the winds blew hard against that house, and it fell. What a terrible fall that was. Jesus finished saying these things, and the crowds were amazed at the way he taught. He wasn't like their teachers of the law. Instead, he taught with authority. You can see where that authority came from. He practiced what he preached. His whole personality and purpose stood behind every word. He was not like so many of his followers today and so many of the leaders of the church, too, who say all the right things, but obviously have no intention of putting that fine profession into practice. Jesus Christ died all unselfishly for the sins of the world. No one could question his motive. He was not trying to win a big name for himself. He went his way in complete obedience to his Father. Everything he did backed up everything he said. He was God's man from beginning to end. In all his wonderful humanity, with all of his fine feeling for people, completely understanding what he was up against, and cheerfully accepting the shame and the pain of it all, without self-pity or recrimination, Jesus Christ gave himself for the life of the world. For that he was given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Our world needs husbands and wives, parents and children, brothers and sisters, who don't just talk but are willing to act, who don't just say, I love you, but practice that love in their daily lives. Our world needs religious leaders who don't simply profess loyalty to God and his word, but are themselves a living demonstration of that word in all their dealings with people. Our world needs people like you to confess with their lips Jesus Christ is Lord, and to act out in their lives the joy they have in Jesus Christ. Profession and practice belong together. How difficult it is to keep them together. It is a problem for all of us. It's a problem for me, and I imagine it's a problem for you. I have to take seriously what the Lord said. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. People who separate practice from profession, who profess faith but do not act it out in their lives, says Jesus, are like a foolish man who built his house upon sand. The rain poured down, the rivers flooded over, and the winds blew hard against that house and it fell. What a terrible fall that was. On the other hand, the person who hears that word of Jesus and carries it out in his everyday life is like that other man, a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain poured down, the rivers flooded over, and the winds blew hard against that house, but it did not fall, because it had been built on the rock. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. We know him if we keep his commandments. Keeping in this case means not hiding away, but carrying out the word of God. The word of God is intended to be acted upon, not just listened to. It's a strange thing that two people will hear the same gospel, the good news of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Both will say that they believe it. Both talk about it with equal facility. Yet you can tell that the one is with it and the other is not. You can tell by what the one man does and the other does not. The doing in this case is not just formal. It's not merely carrying out some ritual or other. People sometimes have the idea that it's enough to go to church on Sundays and make a financial contribution to a church. A hospital chaplain in a meeting with fellow pastors said recently that he often visits patients who are not active members of a church. They will ask him where his church is located. They offer to attend when they get out of the hospital. Many of these people evidently feel that practicing the Christian faith means simply going to church on Sunday morning. Is that how you would define a practicing Christian, one who attends church off and on, maybe even regularly? Now, I'm not one to run down church attendance. I think it's great to go to church. It's God-pleasing because it helps to build me up. I get a lot out of it. I'm doing this sermon right after coming back from church. And our pastor had a magnificent sermon this morning on what it is all about. He said it is God, Christ, and you. He put it to us and to me. I got what he is talking about. And I also got the idea that I'd better do something about it. I can't just sit there and drink it in. It's got to pour out, too. Otherwise, it isn't of much use to anybody, even to me. Profession is necessary to practice. I guess that's true not only of doctors and lawyers, but of everybody who wants to practice anything. You've got to have the profession. In the case of a Christian, it's not so much being a professional as having the faith. People who don't have the faith are not going to be able to practice it. Having the faith is knowing Jesus Christ, trusting Jesus Christ, and following Jesus Christ. Following is very important because that's where the practice begins. As one Bible commentator has put it, the words of Jesus are not presented simply as discussion themes, as theses for ecclesiastical committee work, designed to make the church think it is doing God's will because it is spending so much time talking about it. No, the words of Jesus are a call to action, a commitment of one's life to his service every day of the week, not just on Sundays, but every day of the week. The words of Jesus are given us in Holy Scripture, not just to provide contents for the Sunday morning liturgy, but to call people to genuine service, and to enable people to carry out that service with a kind of love which characterized our Lord himself. You have got to have a little bit of the love of Jesus to be one of his followers. Without that, the whole thing doesn't mean very much at all. Profession has to be put into practice. In the Sermon on the Mount, from which this text for today was taken, Jesus described the kind of actions which professors of the faith ought to practice. You can read the whole sermon because that's what it's all about. Here are a few samples. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Whatever you wish that men would do to you, do so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. These are the products of faith. Faith has got to be there in order to have genuine product and genuine practice. In the case of the Christian faith, practice is the product of faith. You can't have the product without the faith. But you can't have the faith without the product either. Soren Kierkegaard said on one occasion, it's so hard to believe because it's so hard to obey. Obedience goes along with the belief, or it isn't much of a belief at all. Everyone who hears these words of mine and obeys them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not obey them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. When the flood comes and the wind blows, the man who obeys is ready for the test. He has faith to take the shocks of life. When the floods come and the wind blows, the man who does not obey crumbles. He may have piety and all of that, but without faith, he is overcome by the pressures. How does faith work? It works by love. Christ and all of his disciples kept saying, "Why don't we listen?" It doesn't work by yelling or by acting tough. Faith works by love. A man of faith obeys God, and loves his neighbor. That's the whole law and the prophets right there. You can see that in Jesus Christ. That's why the people listened to him. They were amazed at the way he taught. He wasn't like the other teachers of the law, who taught the right things but did not back them up with their lives. This man taught with authority, the authority of his own life, which was an open book. Kenneth Wilson has said, love, genuine Jesus-type love, is not something you think, but something you do. Love is not closed eyes, but open eyes. Love is not just a warm spirit, but sore feet. Love is not being gloriously safe, but terribly vulnerable. Love is not cool, but hot. Love is not for hallowing and shrined wrongs, but for routing and righting wrongs. Love is not a sentimental word, but a demanding way of life. It insists that our feet, our hands, our minds, our goals, our treasure be where our heart is. What a dainty dogma we have made of loving. No wonder so many people observing the unscarred hands of the church have been passing by on the other side. Some of these non-believers knew us better than we knew ourselves. Okay, then. It takes more than saying the right things. It means doing them at one and the same time. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," is going to get into the kingdom of heaven. Only those, said Christ, who do what my Father in heaven wants them to do. When that day comes, many good church people will say to me, "Lord, Lord, in your name we told God's message. By your name we drove out many demons and performed many miracles." Then I will say to them, "I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." That's a hard word. It's so hard it makes me tremble. Where is the Christian whose practice is in perfect harmony with his profession? I know I'm not that one. I suspect that nobody listening to me is one either. There's only one like that, Jesus Christ himself. He practiced his profession, not just to show off his perfection, but that in the mystery of his cross, he might bring to light the good news of forgiveness and life, the gospel of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. God made him to be sin for us, even though he knew no sin at all, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. One day our Lord said to his disciples, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." He wasn't just talking, but doing. He did a lot of that. He healed the broken in body, mind, and spirit. Not just in body, but in mind and in spirit. He knew people and what is inside them. Knowing that, he took them as they are, and he healed them. The Gospel of Matthew is filled with the record of his loving. He healed a leper. He restored the health of a paralyzed servant of a Roman centurion. He restored Peter's mother-in-law. quieted a storm at sea and a storm in the hearts of the men who were with him at sea, drove out demons from two who had been possessed, brought forgiveness and health to a paralytic brought by his friends, joined in dinner with his disciples and with many tax collectors and other sinners, restored to life a ruler's daughter, relieved a woman of a hemorrhage, and gave sight to two men who had been blind. That's all in the Gospel of Matthew, right after this text. It shows us how he did. The men who went for Christ and went out for him wanted us to know about his compassion. It was the greatest thing about him. It's the thing that's so lacking in many of his followers today. The practice of the profession, when it is the profession of faith in Jesus Christ, is plainly and simply compassion. People with Christ have a heart like his for other people who need to be helped, who need to be loved, who need someone to pray for them, and then go out and do for them. I can't forget that paralytic who was looking for physical healing and got that unusual response, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." He understood that man better than the man understood himself, and better than we often understand ourselves. He forgave and he healed. Christ's men have always understood this. They experienced it firsthand. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His compassion is not dependent on our deserving or upon our doing. It comes from him, and he's the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and obeys them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. I've had to find this out for myself, as you probably will have to find it out for yourself. Maybe some of you have found it out, and it's wonderful. There's joy, not in the acquisition of things, but in the use of them, seeing other people benefit from that use. There's joy in reaching out to other people with the good news and seeing them come to life. They get the idea that God is for them. That's the idea of the gospel. There's hope, and with that hope comes life. It's a joy to visit someone in a hospital who's feeling down and to see that person come to life, to have a smile again, because the smiling face of God has been held out through someone who came to them with all compassion in the good name of Jesus Christ. Profession isn't easy, nor is practice. It's the real business of life to put the two together. That's where the glory lies. The floods come and the winds blow, but the house still stands if it's built on the rock, and the wise man finds out who not only hears the word of Christ, but obeys it. One of the saddest chapters in the whole Gospel of Matthew is the 23rd, where Matthew tells us what our Lord said about some fine church people of that time. "Do not follow their practice," he said, "for they say one thing and do another." He added, "Whatever they do is done for show." Faith, real faith, comes from hearing the word of God and trusting the good news of Christ. Obeying is faith in action. It is genuine love, which cannot be counterfeited. It is purity, knowledge, forbearance, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. It is profession put into practice. It is standing true to the Lord, whether others honor or despise, whether they criticize or commend. It is being honest, even when the charge of liar is being thrown about. It is knowing God, though the world ignores him. It is living close to death and being very much alive. It is having the joy of the Lord when the heart is aching. It is being poor and giving rich gifts to others. It is owning nothing and enjoying everything. It is like a house built on a rock. The rain poured down, the rivers flooded over, and the winds blew hard against that house, and it did not fall, because it had been built on the rock. Amen.